All right, I have a message that I feel like I really would like to bring to you this morning from the Word of the Lord, and I'm going to ask if you will turn over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read one single verse. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, and reading one single verse, and that's verse number 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Apostle Paul is speaking. The Apostle Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the scriptures. I'm going to stop right there this morning and ask if you will bow your heads. We'll pray and ask the Lord for his touch upon his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I have sensed and that I have felt as we have worshiped and as we have sang praise unto your name. And Father, we come now to the reading of your word and to the opening of your word. And I would just simply ask that you would enable me to be effective, to minister what you have placed upon my heart, that we may all hear and receive and grow through your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will divinely inspire my thoughts. Put your words in my mind and your word in my mouth. Let it come forth from these lips under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father, that you will let it fall upon ears that are equally touched of God to hear and to receive what the Spirit would speak to our hearts this morning. As always, I say this morning, above all things, let Jesus Christ be glorified and let your people be edified. And Father, for all of these things, we will be grateful and we will be thankful, and we ask them in the mighty and in the wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Bible Study 101. Bible Study 101. As I begin this morning, let me just simply, first of all, express to you how important that I believe that it is for us as the children of God to study God's Word. It's vital. It's of the utmost importance. Studying the Word of God is important not just for those of us who are in vocational ministry or those of us who are in places of leadership, but studying the Word of God is important and vital for every believer. How many of you here this morning are a believer? Let me see your hand. Then it's you. This is for you. Studying the Word of God is the very means by which our spirit is fed. Studying the Word of God is the very means by which our innermost being is nourished and we are equipped to work for the kingdom of God. Studying the Word of God means that it is the means by which that we are prepared and we are made ready for spiritual warfare. How many of you know that when you said I do to Jesus, the enemy said I do too, and there was a battle that ensued. Amen. And there is a spiritual conflict going on, a conflict for your very soul. And studying the Word of God and knowing what the Word of God teaches is vitally important to prepare us for battle. The Bible says that His Word is called the sword of the Spirit. Do you remember when the enemy came against Jesus and Jesus defeated the enemy by saying, "It is written"? He used the word of God to defend himself and to remain strong. The scripture declares concerning God's word that the word of God, and I'm reading from the King James, that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What does all of that mean? It just simply means that the word of God is sharp, it's quick, it's powerful, it penetrates all the way down to the dividing place where our spirit meets our soul. And it is a discerner of our thoughts, it is a discerner of the intents of our heart. Amen. The word of God will penetrate all the way down deep within our heart. Studying the word of God is not just important for those who are in ministry, but studying the word of God is vital for each and every one of us. Our text says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, the scripture teaches us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And then you will read in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 that the only way that faith will come is by hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17 said, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we are told to walk by faith. And then the same Bible turns around and tells us that the only way that we can walk by faith is by hearing, by studying, by ingesting, by getting it down on the inside of the word of the living God. Let me just tell you something this morning. The only thing that will create faith in the heart of men is the word of God. I can tell you encouraging testimonies, and I can tell you wonderful things that have happened, but the only thing that'll cause faith to rise up in your spirit is God's word. Not what I said, but what God said. So in order to develop faith, we must study. We must hear what the Spirit speaks to the church, and he speaks to the church through his word. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the Bible says in the Psalms 119 and verse 9, the psalmist said these words. He said, Wherewithal, that's King James, but wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Where can a young man find something that will help him to cleanse the path that he walks? And then the psalmist answers the question, and he says, "By taking heed according to thy word, O God." In other words, the word of God is able to help us to walk in the straight and the narrow and walk in a plain, pure way. Amen. So we need to study God's word to keep our footsteps walking in a pure and right direction. The same psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse number 11, he said these words. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you, O God." Amen. The psalmist is saying that if we will tuck away God's word down in our heart, then that word that we tuck away down within our spirit will keep us from falling and keep us from sinning and keep us from sinning against God. Amen. We need to study God's word in order to overcome temptation. We need God's word, amen, hidden away down in our heart, that when the enemy comes and brings temptation into our life, we have enough of the word of God to say, "It is written," and defeat our adversary. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." How many of you have ever walked a mountain trail in the dark? And you were banging into limbs and trees and stumbling. A flashlight will do you a world of good, will it not? That's what God's word is to us. It's like a flashlight on the trail of life. Amen. We walk and we are surrounded with darkness, but oh, thank God that His word is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And when the light comes on and the path is illuminated, we can walk without stumbling. We can walk, amen, without concern. We can walk in a clear, plain path because His word brings light. We need to study God's word so the light will come on and we will not walk and abide in darkness. Study the word of God so that the light of His word reveals to our life the path that we should walk. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. This is what Peter says. He said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Amen. I love that verse. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Like a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. What a beautiful picture. Have you ever seen a mother with a small newborn, amen, held to her breast, and that child is nursing and receiving nourishment, and that child grows and begins to mature and begins to grow up? That's what the word of God does for us. It nourishes our spirit. It feeds our heart like a newborn babe, the apostle is saying. Desire the sincere milk of the word, because when you desire God's word and you study God's word, then God's word will cause you to spiritually expand and spiritually grow in the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How are we transformed? That verse tells us we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How is our mind renewed? By proving what is that good and acceptable will of God. In other words, the only thing that has power to transform our thinking and transform our mind is God's word. Because our mind has a worldly mindset. And when I got saved and when you got saved, your mind did not change. What you had to do was get in the word and get your mind renewed and put on the mind of Christ. Amen. And when your mind got renewed, it affected your actions. Amen. Our life is only transformed, amen, when we are transformed into the thinking of Christ. Our life is only transformed, amen, when our mind is transformed. And the only thing that will transform our thinking is the scripture. I tell you here this morning, we need to study the word of God so that our mind is renewed and some of our old thinking is cast out and we put on the mind of Christ and we begin to think like Christ and walk like Christ and live like Christ until Christ is formed in us and we become a living testimony to the world. Amen. Let me just give you a few more scriptures. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." I've always said we need butter too. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16, this is what the prophet said. He said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Amen, amen. Get a picture of that, if you will. He says, "Your word, O God, have I found. And when I found your word, I begin to devour it. I begin to eat it. I begin to, amen, be nourished by it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, amen, or chapter 3 in verse number 16, it says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for us. It is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be made perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What was he saying? He's saying that the word of God has the capability to thoroughly furnish you and thoroughly perfect you and thoroughly make you, amen, a blessing to the kingdom of God. But in order for it to happen, we got to be in the Word. We are instructed to study the Word of God because it is the Word of God that sheds light upon our hearts. We are instructed to study the Word of God because it is God's Word that guards us and keeps us from falling into sin. We are instructed to read the Word of God and study the Word of God because it is God's Word that will produce growth and spiritual strength in our life. We are instructed to study the Word of God because it is God's Word that will produce joy and rejoicing in your spirit. We are instructed, amen, to study the Word of God because it is the only thing that can thoroughly furnish us to every good work. We are instructed to study the Word of God because it is the only thing that will transform our mind, and it is the only thing that will ultimately transform the character of our life and our actions and the way that we live. And I refer you back to our text this morning where the Bible tells us and instructs us to study, to show ourselves a approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh God, I pray that we all develop a hunger to study the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. It is God's word that we must study. It is God's word that we need to dive into, amen, and feast upon his word and study his word. His word will transform our life. And that brings me to Bible study 101. The question that begs to be asked is, Pastor Gary, how do we study the Word? Some people have the idea that when they study the Word, they just pick up the Bible and read 4 or 5 chapters and they've studied. Nothing wrong with reading the Bible. But sometimes we can read 4 or 5 chapters and really not glean a whole lot. Amen. It's not about quantity, but about quality. You can read one single verse and dissect one single verse and oftentimes receive more out of that one verse than reading a whole chapter. You understand what I'm saying? How does one go about rightly dividing the word of truth? How does one study the Bible? So this morning, what the Spirit of the Lord has laid upon my heart is not only to impress upon us the necessity of studying the Word of God, but how to go about studying the Word of God. Amen. Where do we begin? Where does Bible study begin? How do we study the Bible? Let me just start this morning with a couple of key principles. Bible study begins, first of all, with a proper perspective. You might want to write that down. Bible study begins with a proper perspective. A perspective that understands that we have come to God's word, amen, and that we need to realize that it is what it is. It is God's holy, infallible, immutable, spirit-inspired word. It is not the word of men. It is not the word of the ancients. It is not an idea, a theology, or it is not the, amen, the terminology of the religious of the past. But it is indeed and in fact the immutable word of the living God. Jesus said of this word that heaven and earth will pass away. But he said, my word shall not pass away. The scripture said that the flower fades. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades. But it goes on to say, but the word of our God shall stand forever. When we come to the word of God, we must recognize that it is God's precious word. That word, Holy Bible, or the words Holy Bible that are printed on the front of your Bible, amen, are not just there, amen, from tradition, amen. Individuals recognized in the past that it was God's holy word. It is the, it settles the debate on everything. It doesn't matter, my opinion. I don't know how to break it to you, but your opinion doesn't matter. Hello? Amen. When it comes to the word of God, we do not try to line the word up with how we want to live. But brother, we better line our life up with what thus saith the Lord. His word is instruction for eternal life. His word is a roadmap for a vibrant, amen, an intimate relationship with him. And his word is forever settled. When you get ready to open your Bible, amen, shut everything else aside. Turn off the television. Turn off, amen, all of the noise and the racket around you. And open your word and say, God, I'm coming to your word because my spirit needs fed. Come to it with the right kind of perspective. Amen. Proper perspective. Bible study begins with the proper perspective. Secondly, Bible study, amen, begins with commitment. How many of you know you will never do it until you commit to doing it? It's like saying, I'm going to get on the treadmill and lose a few pounds and never getting on the treadmill. Hello? You'll never do it until you commit to doing it. Now, I'm here to tell you, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will cause you to understand the necessity for studying His Word. We all need to study God's word. It brings light to our spirit, strength to our spirit. It gives revelation and instruction and reproof and correction in love. It tells us how we are to live. It shines light upon our path. But we will never enjoy all of those things until we make a commitment to get in the word. And when we get in the word will get in us and it will change our life. Just like making a commitment to go to the gym will change your figure. Hello. Amen. We got to make the commitment. Amen. We've got to make the commitment. So we began Bible study with a proper perspective and an unwavering commitment. I challenge you this next week, set aside a predetermined amount of time, a predetermined space of time where you shut everything out and say, this time slot is dedicated to opening God's word. I promise you, God will meet you at that time slot. It will not be easy. There will be other things that arise and other things that try to get in your way. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about? But you got to make a predetermined commitment. I don't care if everything is falling down around me. I am going to study God's word. Amen. It's that vitally important. Well, preacher, I'll just make the commitment to show up here next Sunday and you can feed me. Hello? That's how some of us approach it. I might ought to duck, but that's good preaching. Hello? Hello? No. Set aside a predetermined time slot. Approach it with the right perspective. Approach it with the right kind of commitment, because it is that vitally important for your spirit. The second thing that I want to speak to you about this morning is, now that we approach the Word of God with the right perspective and the right kind of commitment, how do we go about studying? The first objective in studying the Word of God, when you open the Word, is the first objective is that you want to interpret. You want to find or discover the meaning of the text that you are reading. Why did the author write what is written? What was the message that the writer was trying to convey? How does it rest in harmony with the remainder of God's Word? Understand this morning that when you determine to read the Word of God and you determine to find the original meaning of the Scripture and you determine to study what the author intended for us to receive, you're going to encounter a few obstacles. You're going to encounter a few gaps that need a bridge. What kind of gaps? Well, let me just name a few. What kind of problems, Pastor? Let me just name a few. How about the differences in language, history, culture? How about the differences in traditions and geography? There are all kinds of things that will challenge us. Take, for instance, language. The Bible is written in three distinct languages. It's written in the Hebrew, Arabic, and then the New Testament is written in Greek. It's translated in English in our Bible, but oftentimes the English language failed to convey everything that the Hebrew or the Greek, amen, had connected with what was said. We are often challenged. What I'm saying is, we are often challenged by running into problems or obstacles with language and culture, and their culture is different than our culture, and their traditions are different than our traditions, and their Middle East customs are different than our customs, and oftentimes the languages, amen, are difficult to translate so that we can grasp the meaning of what the writer was saying. But the main focus when you open your Bible is you want to interpret, you want to discover, you want to find out what was the writer saying and what did he intend for us to receive. And to help us overcome those problems, let me give you three things that I have always done in my life. Three key questions that I have always asked in my life when it comes to Bible study. Number one, I always ask myself the question, to whom was this written? Who was this scripture written to? Oftentimes Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, or Paul wrote to Timothy, or Paul wrote, amen, to those in Philippi, and on and on and on. What were the surrounding circumstances? To whom was it written? Why did Paul take a pen in hand? Why, amen, did Mark, Luke, John, why did they take a pen in hand and address this specific topic? To whom was it written? Number two, under what circumstance was it written? Under what circumstance was it written? Oftentimes, amen, Paul was in a circumstance. Oftentimes, the people that Paul was writing to had certain circumstances that surrounded their life. And it would be beneficial for you, for me, to know what those circumstances were. Because if we know the circumstances that it was written under, that will help us to understand the context of what was written. So number one, to whom was it written? Number two, under what circumstances was it written? And number three, how does it apply to me? How does it apply to me? All Bible study should, amen, should be done for application. Amen, application should always follow interpretation. In other words, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Don't just interpret what's being said and let it go in one ear and out the other. Apply it to your life. All interpretation should boil down to application. Amen. Amen. Ask yourself, is there a principle to apply? What I'm reading from God's word, is this something that needs to be applied in my life? Am I living up to that word? Am I owning up to the scripture? Am I doing what the word of God teaches me to do? Am I living the kind of life that this word teaches me to live? Amen. Amen. Is it a principle that I need to apply? Is there a command that I need to obey? Is there an attitude that needs adjusted or needs changed? Is there a sin that I need to repent of? Amen. In other words, everything that we interpret needs to be applied. Amen. If we are not willing and obedient, amen, it will do us futile good. But if we are willing and obedient and we apply the word, the scripture says that if we are just a hearer of the word only, that we deceive ourselves. But let me tell you, when you apply the word, amen, it will cause you to be radically changed. It will cause you to radically grow. The goal of all Bible study should be to make certain that it is applied to our life. Amen. Make certain that it is applied to our life. Now, let me just give you two effective ways that I personally enjoy studying the Bible. I was amused and amazed, actually. Several years ago, we did a study with our church group here. And the minister that had the material that we were studying from, he had five or six different topics or methods that he used to study scripture. And I was amazed as we got into that, because two of them I've always done. And so I want to share those simplistic methods of studying God's word. If you've got your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And we're just going to dissect Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I want to show you how that I often study scripture. I call this pronounce it. So Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16, what do I mean when I say pronounce it? Amen. It simply means that when you study, read a verse over and over again, emphasizing each word of the verse one at a time. Read that scripture over, and each time you read it, emphasize a different word in that scripture and watch it come alive. We're going to take Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. This is what it says in the King James. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, if we apply the pronounce it method, or if we apply that little simple method that I have used to dissect scripture down through the years, it would read, let. What does the word let mean to you? It means to allow, surrender to, yield to, give place to. Allow the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ. Allow, surrender, yield to, let it have place in your spirit. Let the word, and we take that one word, the word, the bread of life. What is the word? It is the bread of life. It is the bread of life. It is the eternal revelation of God Almighty to mankind. Amen. It is God's word preserved and given to us. Let God's word, let the, amen, eternal revealed revelation of God dwell. Amen. Of Christ dwell in your heart. And now we take the next word. Let Christ, let the word of Christ. Think about all who Christ is. Christ is the anointed one, the Savior. He is the King of kings. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So many things that you could think about. He's the healer. He's the baptizer. Amen. He is our soon coming King. Let, allow. The word, the eternal revealed revelation of God, amen, of Christ, the King of glory, the begotten Son of God, amen, dwell. What does the word dwell mean to you? Amen, to move into, to move in, take up residency, abide, lodge, inhabit. Let it dwell. Let it do all of those things in me. You understand how we just break it down word by word. Amen. Let it dwell in, not on the outside. Don't allow it just to affect you, but let it infect you. Let it get in you, not just hear the word, but let it get in you. When it gets in you, it'll change you. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes we are affected by the word, but we're not affected to change. I promise you, you get infected and you'll change whether you intend to or not. Hello? I'm telling you, you let it get in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does richly mean to you? Not just a thimbleful. I mean, get you a bucket load. Hello? Let it dwell richly in you, not sparingly, but abundantly, pressed down, good measure, shaken together. Open your heart wide. Let it dwell in you mightily, richly, wonderfully, abundantly. You understand how just breaking down, I'm not going to go through the whole verse that way. Amen. It'd take up more time than we got. But you understand, by just simply breaking down the verse little by little by little, amen, how that it opens up and how that it impacts. And amen, and what a difference it makes as you read it and recognize what the writer was actually saying. Let, allow, yield, give place to the word, the eternal revealed word of God. Amen. Of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only begotten Son of God. Let it take up residency down in your spirit, down in your heart, and let it abide in you abundantly. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to just open it up to you word by word by word. Again, you don't have to read four chapters. Take one verse, get one verse, spend about 15, 20, 30 minutes with that one verse, break it down and get it in your heart. And then I was raised on a farm, and cattle have a unique ability. rumination. You can feed them and they will stand at the crib until it's gone. And then they will go find themselves a place to lay down. And they will spit it back up. And they will just chew on it. I won't call it rumination, but we need to get just one verse. And then bring it back up later in the day and meditate on it. Chew on it. Think about it. Make sure it comes alive in our spirit. You see what I'm talking about? Meditate upon the word of God. Sometimes my wife will walk by and she thinks I'm napping. I'm laid back in the recliner. She tries to be real quiet. I said, "Baby, don't, I'm not sleeping. I'm just thinking on something. I'm just meditating upon God's word. I'm just meditating upon a scripture that I read today. I'm just meditating upon God's word." You understand what I'm talking about? It doesn't have to be four chapters. Get one single verse. Break it down. Go on your merry way, and somewhere along the way, find you a spot like a cow and just meditate on it and brood on it and chew on it and just keep gnawing on it until you get everything that's in it out. Second simple little feature or method that I have always used when I studied the Bible, I call it picture it. How many of you know that oftentimes when I preach, I will often tell you in the theater of your mind, I will ask you to picture, if you will, the scene as it unfolds. What my objective is to try and bring you into that situation. Oftentimes, the Word of God speaks to us in a reading narrative or in a story or a parable kind of form. Jesus was the most masterful storyteller that ever walked on planet Earth. He could give you a small story and it would be so multifaceted with truth that it would just blow your mind. And sometimes those that were listening to the story had no idea what he was talking about. Sometimes he slapped them right upside the face with the story, and they just thought he was telling stories. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you a for instance. Next time that you read a story or a parable, try picturing it in your mind. You will read a story in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, and I encourage you, just close your eyes, see if you can see it unfold. The Bible says that there was a man that had two sons. And the youngest son comes to his father and he says, "Father, I want you to give me the inheritance that's owed to me." The father, being a good father, he gives his youngest son his inheritance. No doubt the father must have wondered within himself, I pray he's not about to do something foolish. I pray that he's not about to embark upon something that's going to be harmful for his life. The Bible said not many days after that young man had received his inheritance, he left the comfort and the safety of his father's home. I can see him as he leaves. He's wearing fine clothes. He's arrogantly thinking to himself as he walks away from his father, "I'm through with all of your rules and all of the things that you have put upon me, and I'm going to live life my way." And he walks out of his father's house and off of the front porch, out into the sunlight, and down the road he goes. And his father stands on the porch looking down the road with tears in his eyes, not knowing what's ahead of his child. can see it as it unfolds. The young man, the Bible says, through riotous living, ungodly living, careless living. I can see the drunken nights and the ill company that he kept. Money that was spent until it came to the point when money was all gone. And he had wasted everything that was given to him. And now he is sitting alone, away from the Father and away from the Father's house, and he has no money. He has no friends. Those good time buddies that were gathered around him during the drunken nights, he has no more money and they're gone. I can see him as he looks for work. What will I do? His hunger begins to grow. His belly starts to growl. And finally, he finds a man that says, yeah, I'll give you a job. There's a famine in the land, but I'll give you a job. You go out and feed my pigs. For a Jewish young man to go out and feed swine, he meant an unclean animal. That was the lowest job you could ask him to do. But the Bible said that he would have gladly filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. In other words, he was so hungry that he would have gladly ate what the pigs were eating just so he could fill his belly. The fine clothes that he had up on his back when he left, they were torn and they were tattered, and he no longer had that big satchel of money. Amen. The money was all gone and he was left all alone. And I can see him as he sat in the pig pen. And the Bible said that he came to himself. I'm sure that coming to himself has a whole lot of ramifications. What a fool I have been. I wonder if I can make my way back home. I wonder if my Father will forgive me. I wonder if there is a place of restoration. You see it unfolding in your mind. You see it unfold because the enemy's done you the same way when you have sinned and failed. And you've come to yourself and you've said, oh God, I wonder if there's a place of restoration. I wonder if there's a way back. You see how when you picture it in your mind, it begins to unfold. That young man, he comes to himself and he gets up and says, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my Father's house and I will say to my Father, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Amen. I am no more than a worthless servant. If you'll just make me a hired man, I'll be the happiest man on earth. But when the Bible said the Father saw him a great way off, amen, the Bible said that the Father went running down the lane to meet the boy. Amen. Oh, I can see it as it unfolds. And the Bible said that he fell upon his neck and he kissed him. And really in the Greek, it says that he kissed him over and over and over and over again. And said, my son who was dead has come home. He calls for them to bring the best robe and put it upon him. I can almost see that young man as he tentatively reaches out to take that robe. He had one like it when he left, but that was before the pig pen. And now he's being restored to the Father. The Father says, bring a ring, a family crest. Bring a ring and put it upon his finger. That ring meant power, authority in the house. Bring shoes and put it upon his feet. You see how picturing it in your mind, the next time you read in your Bible or study in your Bible a story, just close your eyes and begin to watch it unfold. Watch it happen. Maybe the little woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, she slips and sneaks her way to Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. I can see her slipping through the crowd, hoping that nobody knew and nobody saw. Story after story, parable after parable is waiting there to be discovered. An old saying says, a picture paints a thousand words. Try it sometime. Read the story. Close your eyes, open your mind, and watch it unfold on the theater screen of your mind. And just see what kind of an impact it makes upon your life. Two simple ways this morning, amen, for us to study the Word of God. I'm going to conclude with these words. Study begins with commitment and preparation. Priority and preparation. Interpret what's being said by asking three questions. To whom was it written? Under what circumstances was it written? And how does it apply to me? And then apply it. Receive it. Obey it. Ingest it. Feed upon it. Reverence it. Pronounce it. Picture it. But for your own spiritual being, your own spiritual welfare, do it. If you don't do it, you will miss out on everything that God wants you to have. Amen. Study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Try it. Years ago, there was an old commercial on television with Mikey, and they said, try it, you'll like it. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, try it. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. How many of you know that when you determine you're going to go to the gym and you know, let's say you're working out and you spend an hour in the gym, you're not happy about any of that. You're like, good God in heaven, man. Bodily exercise profiteth little. What am I doing here? But give yourself about 2 months and a few dress sizes, a few pant sizes, or a few shirt sizes, you're like, hey, I kind of like this stuff. Well, come on, we need to run to town. Not until I work out, we ain't. Hello? You understand what I'm saying? I said, try it. You'll like it. Try it. It may take you a little while to develop that discipline, but I promise you the benefits will far outweigh the sacrifice. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the building, if you will, please. Picture it, pronounce it, commit to it. Commit to it. Amen. Heavenly Father, your word is life. Your word is transforming power. Help us this morning to understand the necessity of studying your word. Help us to recognize that when you said through the Apostle Paul for us to study, to show ourselves approved, it wasn't a recommendation, it wasn't a suggestion. It was an instruction. It was an instruction. Help us to become disciplined to that instruction, to study your word, that our lives may be transformed and changed by the power of your eternal word. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're standing on your feet. Amen. Everybody's head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're standing to your feet. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I make a commitment to you and I make a commitment to God right here, right now. I make that commitment that I'm going to apply what you preach this morning and I'm going to begin to study your word. The word of God more intently. Hands being lifted all over the building. Anybody else? Yes. God bless you. God bless each one of you. God bless each one of you. Amen. God bless each one of you. Okay, everybody just look up. Hands have been lifted all over the building. That's what I wanted, was for you to see the need for it. It has been made so easy for us. Everybody here, no doubt, everybody here got a smartphone. There are apps of all different kinds that you can pull up a daily devotional and go through it and read and dissect it and get into it and have it get in you. Amen. You can go to the internet, Google short devotions, page after page after page, right there at our fingertips. We just need to do it. Find you an avenue through which you have an opportunity this next week, in the next week, the week after, where you get in the Word and the Word gets in you, and just see what God doesn't do in your heart and in your life. Amen. I bless you this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. I dismiss this congregation, Lord, from this service, but not from your presence. Go with them. Keep your hand upon them. Overshadow them with your favor, your grace, and your mercy. And Father, help us to follow through with our commitment that we've made here this morning. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time, and we will forever give you the praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning.